And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to be looking at some secrets. Got a lot of secrets here, and it's very, very interesting. Boy, we're going to cover things that, well, we usually, there's so much here. We're going to get right to it. You know, what about that debate? The debate we had, the first debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Well, you know, if you grade it as if you were some kind of a speech teacher or professor, you might give Hillary the edge. No doubt she had prepared for a long time. And, you know, she went on the attack. She was very aggressive. You know, and of course the, the moderator, Mr. Holt, was frankly on her side. No doubt about that. And it wasn't really significant what he asked her, but what was left out, what he omitted, what he did not ask Hillary Clinton. He didn't ask her about the Clinton Foundation, which is probably the most corrupt and evil, and I mean, it's just the most, it's incredible. They say that both she and Bill Clinton have amassed $2 billion. $2 billion with a B in their so-called foundation, the Clinton Foundation. But I was seeing an expert on one of the news channels who said that he believed that upwards of $200 billion had been amassed. Of course, we know from audits, the few audits have been conducted, that less than 6% of that money was spent for charity. 6%. That means that 94% was spent on, well, went into the pockets of the Clintons. Now, Hillary Clinton really raked Donald Trump over the coals for his riches, for being a rich man. And she made all kind of accusations against him for being rich. I was amazed that Donald Trump did not respond well because, I mean, you have to ask Hillary and Bill. They are the two of the richest people in America now. Hillary probably is one of the richest women in the whole country. I think he should have asked her, Donald Trump should have asked Hillary Clinton, how did you get all your money? Did you work for it? Did you toil away in some kind of a company, or did you work for some, I mean, did you work for Hewlett Packard or Husband Refrigeration or General Electric or some builder somewhere, or, you know, what did you do for your money? Now, Hillary said that her father, growing up, her father was a, he did design, he made designs for wallpaper, a middle class existence. Well, how did she get all those billions of dollars? Billions. How does a woman whose husband has been the governor of Arkansas, and she's been the first lady, and of course she was a senator and then secretary of state, but ended up with billions? How did that happen? How do you get to be a billionaire? But Donald Trump didn't ask those questions. Some say that his advisors told him to play nice, be nice. So he did. He said he didn't want to say those cruel sexual things. But she scalded Donald Trump, put him over the coals. Said he had called some woman Miss Piggy. and so forth. And she just really scalded the man over the coals. Now, why didn't he come back on her and say, well, look what the things you've called. I mean, next week I'm going to do a program. I'm going to take a quote by Pat Caddell. Now, Pat Caddell is a pollster. He takes political polls. He's very unique. You see, he can be dated all the way back to the days of Jimmy Carter. He was President Jimmy Carter's chief pollster. He's a political advisor. And he was recently interviewed by Breitbart. Now, Breitbart is a news source online, Breitbart.com. Pat Caddell said this. He said the election is headed toward Armageddon. Let me repeat that. The election is headed toward Armageddon, he said, as the establishment fights to hold on to its power and privilege at all costs. Wow. Think about that. The election is headed toward Armageddon as the establishment fights to hold on to its power and privilege at all costs. Of course, Paul Ryan, the House Majority Leader, is a Republican, and Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president. But Paul Ryan, I mean, let's face it, folks. He's a friend of Hillary Clinton. He's going to vote for Hillary Clinton, but it doesn't matter who he's going to vote for. He supports Hillary Clinton. He doesn't want to lose all of his perks, all of his money, all of his fame. So to hell with the Republican Party. It's Hillary. You know, ride the Calvary on, you know, ride on. Now, Senator McConnell, he's the Senate Majority Leader. He's for Hillary, too. And both of these jackals, these are jackals, both Paul Ryan, the congressperson, and then McConnell, the senator, the chief senator, the Senate Majority Leader, they both are big backers of Obama. They give Obama whatever they want. You know, if I knew they were all gay, I know that Obama is bisexual and gay. I'm not so sure about Ryan and McConnell. I would say they wake up every morning in bed together, they and Obama. But I can't say that really. I have no idea who Obama wakes up in bed with, but it's probably not Michelle Obama. It's probably some fella. He's known as a gay guy. And hey, let's face it. You can go back and read his history and read about all of the people that he had sex with from his own church. The church there in Chicago. He's a pervert. That's why he's pushing all these transgender things, because that's in his mind. That's in his mind, the transgender, the homosexuals. That's what he wants America to be like. And there's Hillary Clinton, too. Don't think, my friends, that she's not a homosexual. She's been a homosexual all of her life. You say, Tex, that can't be. Why, she was the first lady. Don't you know he was out? I mean, he's the bimbo president. The bimbo president. He's got his hands on every woman that he could. Don't you remember about Monica Lewinsky? I did not have sex with that woman. Of course he had sex with her. And probably 200 other women. He's a pervert. He's a monster. He's a heinous sexual predator. He's a monster. And when these women would complain that they were raped or beaten or whatever by Bill Clinton, Hillary would go to work on them. She hired private detectives. She had the top detectives to go after them. They found out pretty soon that they were under liability of being murdered. And she did murder. They murdered a number of people. Don't think these people are saints. Oh, I know Hillary. She was very, very clever at the debate. You know, the devil gives certain people powers. Now, some people say, well, Hillary is very intelligent, isn't she? No, she's not. No, she's not. Did you know that Hillary, when she took her bar exam, she failed it? That's right. You've got to take the bar exam to become a lawyer. She failed it. Later on, she did get to become a lawyer, passing the bar exam there in Arkansas. But then they stripped her of her law license. She's not an attorney to this day. You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, read up, friends. Hillary Clinton is not an attorney. They took her, they stripped her of her law license because they said she was a crook. Boy, I bet a few of the judges on that in the Bar Association of Arkansas are probably dead today. Their careers were over when they stood up to Hillary Clinton. I know when I stood up to her, I wrote a book, Big Sister is Watching You. And I was audited for 8 years. 8 years! Now show me somebody else has been audited for 8 years. First, they spent 4 years auditing the books of this ministry. That wasn't enough for the jackal, so the IRS started in on me personally. They audited 4 years of my personal tax records. 8 years! What did I do about it? Well, I didn't do anything. I gave them all the records they wanted. They wanted more than records. They wanted every tape of every radio program I'd ever done, every book, every newsletter. They wanted every shred of letters, everything. What's that got to do with financial records? What's that got to do with taxes? It was what Hillary told the IRS, get from this man. Break him. But they didn't break me. Now, maybe if you haven't been listening to Power of Prophecy, you don't really know these things, but it's true. They didn't break me. And I turned around and I sued the IRS. That's right. I sued the IRS. Some people told me, you can't do that. They'll destroy you. Well, they didn't destroy me. You know why they didn't destroy me? Let me tell you. I really thought they would. I really thought that the IRS, in fact, the IRS put two lesbian lawyers, gave them and told them, go after this guy. This text bar is breaking. Break his back. Two lesbian lawyers are on my case. But I had God. But I had God. I wasn't going to threaten them. I cooperated with the IRS in every way, but I said, I'm going to fight you. Of course, you want this record, that record. You want all these things. I'll give them to you. In fact, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fact that the tax auditor had to read all my newsletters, had to listen to all my radio shows, had to read all my books, trying to look for places where they could find things to grab me or to stick me, to shaft me. I loved it. One time the tax auditor was in our offices, and I said, you know, Jesus, he had quite a bit to do with tax collectors. What? He said. See, the tax collector, he didn't know one thing about Jesus Christ. I said, oh yeah, he did. In fact, he went to dinner with one of them. Man's name was Zacharias. And Jesus said to him, I'm going to have dinner with you tonight. The man didn't even know Jesus. But he was curious about Jesus. I said, he was a crooked tax collector. He was a crooked. He was like our IRS. He was crooked. But you know what? When he met Jesus, he changed. That's right. You can read about it in the Bible. Read about Zacharias in the Bible. He changed. And he restored everything he had stolen from all those people. He said, I'd like to know more about that. He did. That's what the IRS guy said. I said, well, I'll copy those pages in the Bible and I'll give it to you. I said, by the way, one of the 12 disciples had been a tax collector, was a tax collector. Jesus chose a tax collector as one of his disciples. Boy, he was really shocked then. He couldn't believe that. Friends, this is what God will do. I told the guy, come on in. You want to audit all my books? You want to put me through all this trouble? That's okay. Have a cup of coffee. Sit down, chat with me. He said, what's your authority? What is your authority to say the things you do? I said, well, here, this Bible. He said, well, I don't want to see that. I don't have anything to do with the Bible. Well, but you want to know by what authority I do these things. You have to read this Bible to find out. I'll show you the exact verses. No. Don't show me the Bible, the IRS guy said. I don't want to see that. But you know, when I told him about those two tax collectors, one of them even being chosen to be a disciple, he wanted to know. I would like to know about that, he said. God took care of me. God handled it. I didn't want to punish those people. I didn't ask for God to slap some big fine on them, or I didn't say God punish the IRS or anything else. I told the IRS, okay, you know, you're doing your job, basically. You're not doing your job, but I found out that the tax audit of Texmars was a directed audit. It's not one of these random audits. It was directed. And it came right from the White House. You see, I had written this book, Big Sister is Watching You, about Hillary Clinton and the women she got around, all the lesbians she had around at the White House. And boy, she was angry. She got with Janet Reno, the attorney general, and said, I want this man audited. So they did. You know, I called up a couple of my lawyer friends. One of them, one of the best known lawyers in the United States, and he had been, he was a lawyer for Paula Jones. You know Paula Jones? The gal that, Bill Clinton had sexually molested in his hotel room. He was her lawyer, and I called him to ask him what his advice was, and he said, well, I'm sorry, Tex, but right now we're being audited ourselves. I said, you are? Yes, by the IRS. Because we're Paula Jones. Everyone I called, I found out they were being audited too. But the press didn't report it, folks. No. No one reported me being audited or the lawyer for Paula Jones being audited. Hillary and Bill did whatever they wanted. They used the IRS as their personal slave force. That's what they're doing today. They're punishing these tea parties and all. You know, I want to explain one thing to you. I want you to think about this. I don't know whether Donald Trump is going to be the president of the United States. They say the polls are neck and neck. I don't even know if he would make a good president. Be better than Hillary Clinton. But I don't know. I don't know if he would be, if he would favor the Christian church. I don't know those things. I haven't been told by the Spirit of God. But I do know one thing. It is obvious that he is hated by the establishment. Now, Pat Caddell here, I'm reading it right to you. Pat Caddell says the election is headed toward Armageddon as the establishment, that's Republicans and Democrats, fights to hold on to its power and privilege at all costs. Wow. They don't intend to let Trump take over. And if by some miracle of God, I don't think it'd be a miracle of God, because what would happen would, let me just put it this way. If Trump is elected, I don't think he'll last a year. He'll be killed. Now, I hope the FBI comes and sees me and says, what do you mean Trump's going to be killed? Because the establishment is going to kill the man. That's why. Look at who opposes him. Look at who's fighting him. Look who despises this man. They say that the billionaires favor Hillary by 20 to 1. the billionaires in America have given Hillary donations, so-called money, by a ratio of 20 to 1. All the big boys, Facebook, Twitter, all of them, all of Silicon Valley, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, all of these rich people. Of course, the so-called wizard of Omaha, what's his name, Warren Buffett. All of the big boys, they've given all their money to Hillary because that's where their income is coming from. That's where their money is coming from. And let me tell you something, friends. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That's why Hillary wants more money. Money, money, money. And these rich, rich people, with the exception of Donald Trump, they want more money. They're going to get more money through Hillary, and they're going to bankrupt the poor people of the United States. I mean, it's going to happen. We're headed down. Listen. God is keeping us above water, but it's going to all go right down the sink. I mean, I'm telling you, friends, it's going to be just like you've been flushed down the sink. You wait and see if Hillary wins. I won't be here. I'm telling you, they will close down this ministry. They'll close InfoWars. They'll close Breitbart. They'll close the Drudge Report. They'll close everything on the internet that tells the truth. They won't let us stay around. You wait and see. It's going to be pitiful. I mean, they put all these liberal judges in there. And those judges, they hate the Constitution. They despise the Constitution. And George Bush put these liberal judges in. His father put these judges in. We wouldn't have Roe versus Wade if it weren't for the Republican judges. Do you understand that? Reagan put one of the Supreme Court judges in. He always votes pro-abortion. And George Herbert Walker Bush, he gave us a couple of Supreme Court judges, and they always vote abortion. But Reagan and Bush knew they would. They knew they would. It wasn't a surprise. And Christians said, oh, it's wonderful that George Herbert Walker Bush has nominated so-and-so for the Supreme Court. And Ronald Reagan has given us so-and-so. And George W. Bush is nominated so-and-so. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, and then they turn around, stabbed Christians in the back. But we knew they would. We knew it. Because they're part of the establishment. Now, Pat Caddell notes something. He says, the establishment is angry. They're angry at the people. And the people are determined to take back America. To take it back. But the establishment will fight to hold on to its power and privilege at all cost. He says, the establishment will fight, says Caddell. It's going to be a broad-based assault to keep Trump out of the White House. They want control back of their government, the political class. And it's a united effort. The Republicans are terrified, he says. Did you understand that? Listen, Pat Caddell, Jimmy Carter's pollster, one of the most brilliant men in politics, says this. He says, the Republicans in the establishment are terrified that Trump is going to diminish their power. Paul Ryan is terrified. McConnell is terrified. And if they have to, they will cooperate in murdering Donald Trump. Did I say it? Yes, I did. Now, listen to me. Prayers do change things. Prayers mean everything. And God wants us to pray for Donald Trump. He does. To pray that no one will harm him. To pray that he will succeed. I don't know whether he'll be a great president or not, but I know he will not be part of the establishment. That's why they hate the man so much. And we've got to support him, and we've got to back him. And listen up and watch things very carefully. And you, my friends, write the establishment. Write your senator, write your congressman, and tell them to keep their hands off of Donald Trump. To make sure this man is protected from a murderous assassination attack. Everybody hates Donald Trump, don't they? Except the American people. The universities, they're run by the establishment. They're run by people who hate America. The schools, they're in the tank for Hillary. All the school teachers, all of them practically. You know they are. The media, come on, the media are a bunch of bums. They're all for Hillary. The government, of course it is. All of the Congress is. All of the state governments are. They're conservative fakers. They're not really. I mean, Ted Cruz, his wife Heidi, just went back to work. Where does she work? Goldman Sachs Bank. Oh? Well, I thought Ted Cruz was a real conservative. No, he's a faker. He's a liberal. And his wife works for Goldman Sachs Bank. She makes over $1 million a year from Goldman Sachs Bank. One of the most corrupt banks in the whole world. She's the vice president for wealth management. That should tell you something. She's back at work now. And the Bushes, what phonies they are. The Bushes, oh my goodness. Friends, wake up, wake up. Lester Holt was in the tank. He made sure that Hillary looked good. But I think the devil empowered her. The devil was in her. She's full of the devil. She's a homosexual. And her girlfriend is Huma Abedin, a Muslim. A Muslim. That's her girlfriend. They sleep together. If Hillary wins the presidency, Huma Abedin will sleep with her in the White House bed. It's true. Hillary Clinton, Huma Abedin. They're lesbians. That's what you're going to get, friends. Her campaign manager, Robbie Book, he's a homosexual. Her last campaign manager, when she ran last time for president, Donna Brazile, is a lesbian. They're all a bunch of lesbian, homosexual perverts. That's who we're going to have running America. And let me tell you something. They're murderous. They're murderous. They'll kill and kill and kill. Just like they did. David Koresh and all those people. Oh, they'll kill. Just like they did their own man, Vince Foster. They murdered him. They'll kill. They're killers. They're homosexuals. They're perverts. She is a Jezebel. Read about Jezebel in the book of Revelation. Read about her in the Old Testament, her and her husband, Ahab. She's Jezebel. I'll be right back after this brief message. Stay with us, won't you? I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. I suppose you've heard about my newest book. It's entitled The Destroyer. The Destroyer. The Antichrist is at hand. You know, we were just talking about the election. and how Pat Caddell had said that it's, well, we're headed toward Armageddon. Maybe he didn't really mean Armageddon. Maybe it was just a figure of speech. But you know, that's what we're really headed for. It's interesting that God called me to write this book right now in my life. I've written dozens and dozens of books. But right now, in this year, in this time, God has given me the knowledge to write this book. I want you to have a copy. It's a tremendous book. It's the first book I've written about the Antichrist. And it contains 55 Bible proofs. You will discover who the Antichrist is going to be. What nation? What race? About his mark? About his number? It's an astonishing book. As I was writing and researching this book, God would give me information and put me on to secrets that I had never discovered in my lifetime. I could not believe it. You see, I took the Jewish Talmud, their holy book, so-called, that every rabbi studies. They don't care for the Old Testament at all, and rabbis don't even study it. You can go all the way through rabbinical school or seminary and never open up one page of the Old Testament. That's true. But I got out the Talmud, and I got out the Kabbalah, which is another system of books that devil rabbis consort to and use. And I compared those with what the Bible said. And guess what? They told me who the Antichrist was going to be. Now the Jews say, we reject the New Testament. We reject the book of Revelation. That's devil stuff. That's Christian writing. But why is it that the New Testament, and especially the book of Revelation, that was written, according to historians, in the year 95 AD, why is it that they copied it? They mimicked it. Yes. You see, the Talmud was not put down to writing until around 350. The Kabbalah was not really put down into writing until the Middle Ages. Hundreds of years after the New Testament, after the book of Revelation. But it follows exactly the New Testament. It follows the book of Revelation. Why? Because the Jews can't get away from their destiny. Why is the devil's Antichrist number 666? You'd think he'd get a different number. But Rabbi Moses Hasad, says that 666, that number is a holy and a good number with much messianic potential. You'd think he'd pick any number other than 666. Why was he forced to choose 666? And I'll tell you something else. They believe that their great serpent is their Messiah. Leviathan, the great serpent of hell, they say is going to come up from hell and become their Messiah. The Jews say the serpent is the holy serpent. You can read my book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. Why would they admit that their Messiah is the serpent? They have to. God causes them to admit it. You know, I have seen some evil people in my time. And I knew a pastor. He was quite wealthy. He did very well. His church was big. But the things that pastor did, I knew the man was evil. But he did certain things that finally caused him to be exposed. And I told Wanda, you know, this pastor would have gone on for many years, all of his life, and never been exposed. Why did he actually confessed to what he had done secretly, but everybody said, oh, you know, I used to, when I was a young man, I used to like to read the writings of Edgar Allan Poe, one of America's greatest writers. He said something about evil criminals. He said, criminals have a devilish bent. They are forced, they're compelled to admit their crimes. Now, we like to think that the criminal commits a murder or a bank robbery or some kind of a horrible crime and will keep it a secret forever. But police know that most of their crimes are solved when the criminal admits what he's done. He might admit it to his wife, to some friend. He might get drunk in a bar and brag about what he's done. He admits it. And it may take some months, some years before he does. And then he gets back to the police and they find out who did it. There's some kind of an impish, devilish wish to confess your sins. The police don't know why that is, but they know it happens. I believe it's God. I believe people will confess their sins. They'll become more wicked, and more wicked. Then they start talking about their little sins. Oh, yeah, I used to do that. I was that. Ha, ha, ha. And they're found out. And then somebody finds out about their little sins and tracks it all the way up, and they find out about the big sins. I want you to have your copy of this book. It's an amazing book. It's an amazing book. The Destroyer. The Antichrist is at hand. Now, it's $20. $20. Include $5 shipping and handling. A total of $25. Please. Please, send it to us today, $25. Ask for the book, The Destroyer, The Antichrist is at Hand. Write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or go to our website. That would be powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. And you'll see the book is pictured right on the home page. And just click right there and order it. And use your charge card, your MasterCard or whatever, your Visa. Order the book. Or you can write to us here at Power of Prophecy. Or just write to Tex. Tex Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. 78733. Okay. Did I leave out anything, Jerry? Jerry's here. Oh, yes, you can phone us. Jerry's giving me the hand signal, you know, like the phone. And I always forget one thing or another. Well, please phone us. Our phone number, of course, is toll free 1-800-234-9673. Hey, and by the way, if you're not on our mailing list, you don't get our newsletter every month. We're going to send you a free subscription to it. When you order this book or anything from us, we'll give you a free subscription. We'll just start sending you our newsletter. And I hope you'll enjoy it. I think you will. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. Okay, let's return now to our regular program. You know, I'm reading here that Bill Gates, who owns Microsoft, says we need global government. Global government. Now, friends, government is so inefficient, so messed up, so stupid, and I'm talking about local government, I can't imagine it becoming global. Can you imagine how the idiots would well, they already are. They've already got, you know, their NAFTA, their North American Free Trade Act, and Europe's got its European community. And they don't know what they're doing, and they lose track of the citizen, of you and I. Well, Bill Gates says this. He says, a global government is badly needed to combat an array of issues ailing the planet. Oh, brother. He says, one thing that a government would fix, a global government, would be to correct our climate change problem. Folks, there is no climate change problem. These guys are just idiots. You say, well, boy, Bill Gates, he must be intelligent. I don't think so. He might be smart about computers, but dumb about everything else. That's like Hillary Rodham Clinton. She flunked her law exam. Then later, she got it, but it was stripped from her by the state of Arkansas. Well, Bill Gates was talking with Germany's, let me see if I can pronounce this right, the Süddeutsche Zeitung newspaper. He said, we need a proper United Nations system. The current United Nations has not worked. Well, yeah, I know it hasn't worked because it's corrupt. It's no good. He says a global government is badly needed to combat an array of issues. Oh, well, don't worry, Bill Gates. Global government is coming very soon. You'll get what you want. You probably won't like it, because when global government fully takes over, guess what? They're going to tell Microsoft what to do. They're going to tell you what to do. And you know what? You're not going to own a big old house. I understand you have a big 30,000 square foot mansion up in Portland or Seattle somewhere. And you know, they're going to say, that's just too big. Why don't you let 1,000 people move in with you? You'll say, look, I'm the owner of Microsoft. You didn't do anything. Remember what Obama said? You didn't do anything yourself. Society did it. You don't deserve any credit, Bill Gates. So shut your mouth. You wait and see. The communists took over in the Soviet Union, in Russia. And they took people like you and shot them in the head. They took their mansions. They took all their possessions. Because they said, we need a government to take care of all these problems. And you are a problem, Bill Gates. And you know what? They're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. Now, maybe you'll die before there's a global government. If not, just mark my words. Put it on your calendar. You'll die. You'll die. The global government will kill you. You're the kind of man they're looking for. You're the kind of man they hate. You say, who would do that? The other billionaires. They're jealous, you see. They're jealous of you. They'll say, you don't need all that money. You don't need all those computers. You don't need all those things. Give it up, Bill Gates. You're a greedy man. That's what they'll say. Now, I don't say that. The people that listen to this program don't say it. But Bill Gates, you're going to be dead. You and your wife, they're probably going to rape her as you watch, and then they're going to cut off your head. You say, they can't do that. Oh, they will. They will. Pope Francis, you're next. Now, I don't advocate hurting anybody. And I want to explain this to people. I have never, ever said somebody needs to die. I've never said that. I've never said I hope that the government will kill this person or that person. You know what? I don't say anything like that. My hope is these people will repent, that God will change their mind and their hearts, and they'll become my friends. That's what I want. Nevertheless, they're headed the wrong direction. Now, Pope Francis, here this article says that he's thrown the weight of his office, which is the Pope, the papacy, behind tackling climate change. You see, we have a climate change problem. I mean, I see it every day, don't you? I woke up yesterday and it was about 69 degrees. I woke up today and it was 75. Climate change. Tomorrow it might be 69 again. It might be 80. I have climate change. And you know what? I sort of like it warm, hot. I sort of do. My wife, Wanda, she says, well, I like it cool. I like cool evenings. And yeah, she's going to get her way. We will have climate change. And these jackals are correct. We always have climate change every year. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. It says that every year, you know, you have autumn, you have fall, you have spring, you have summer, you have winter. Every year you have it. It's just the same over and over and over. Sometimes it's hotter than other times. Sometimes it's cooler, but you got climate change. And these idiots think that man causes it. Before man was here, there was climate change. And when man's gone, there'll be climate change again. Boy, boy. You know, Francis, Pope Francis, that is, the climate you need to worry about is the spiritual climate. The spiritual climate, it is bad. And you know, it's the only climate that's getting worse. Because the Apostle Paul said that things would wax, that means get, worse and worse, with men deceiving and being deceived until the end comes. That's the climate that I'm worried about, folks. You should be too. Things are going to get worse and worse until the end comes. Bill Gates, Pope Francis, nah, it never happened. By the way, here's why I'm worried about this election. You know the guy that killed the people in the mall up in Burlington, Washington? What did he kill? 5 people, I think 4 women and a man. He went in there with a gun and with a rifle, and he just shot him, murdered him. Well, he was caught. Turns out he's a Muslim. Of course, these Muslims have been welcomed with open arms by Hillary and by Obama. And they're killing people. That's what Muslims do. They kill people, folks. Don't you get that yet? Like the guy that killed the people in California. Even brought a wife from overseas, and she came in. They both killed people. And then, of course, there's the guy that... What shot was it? 40, 50 people there in some nightclub in Orlando, Florida. He was a Muslim. These people are killers. I was reading about an Iraqi woman, a Muslim. Same, she collects heads. She boils them first. She collects heads. That's what they do. They put Christians in cages and then they sink the cages in water. They kill people. They kill other Muslims, too. Well, this Muslim there in Burlington, Washington, his name, let me make sure I've got it right, Arkan Satin. Boy, that's pretty accurate, isn't it? Cetin. Is that pronounced right, Jerry? Satin? Boy, Cetin. Sounds like it should be. Arkan Satin. He killed these people. But here's an interesting thing. Let me tell you about this guy. He said... He votes. Now, the guy's 20 years old. Most states you have to be 21 to vote. But he's voted 3 times in the last 3 years. He told the police, yeah, he votes. Now, he's a good citizen, isn't he? I mean, he's from Turkey. But you're a good citizen. He voted in America, in Washington elections. The problem is he's not a citizen. He's not a citizen. But he went down and voted. How did he do that? Well, election officials, for example, the Washington Secretary of State, Ms. Kim Wyman, she confirmed that he was registered to vote and that he had voted in 3 elections in 2014, 2015, and 2016. He immigrated to the U.S. from Turkey. He's a Turkish citizen. He's not even an American, but he's voting. Now, Ms. Wyman was asked, isn't that illegal? She says, yes, it is, but he did it. How did he do it? Well, our voting system, get this, folks, listen to this. Our voting system in Washington State operates on the honor system. Oh, boy. Let me read that to you again. Our voting system in Washington State, says the Secretary of State, Ms. Kim Wyman, operates on a honor system. We do not have a provision in state law that allows us to verify someone's citizenship. So, she said, we're in this place where we want to make sure we're maintaining people's confidence in the elections and the integrity of the process. Ask about the integrity of the process here with Mr. Satan. She says, well, if they find out you voted illegally, the penalty is very serious. The penalty? And how many citizens in the last 3 years have been charged with this crime, she was asked. Zero. Did you get that? Zero. Satan votes in Washington State. He's not even a citizen. He comes from Turkey. But the Secretary of State says we don't have a system to check. Anybody can go down and vote. And they can vote over and over and over and over. And they can vote in as many precincts as they want. And if they get caught, the penalty is, well, nothing. Now, why should you vote, friends? You know, when I go down to vote, I look and I see a person who's a foreign person, a Muslim, a Hispanic, and I say to myself, well, I'm voting, but he'll probably vote 20 times, or she'll probably vote 15 or 16 times. They're sure going to outdo me and Wanda. We may as well not even vote. Say, oh, no, Tex, you've got to vote. It's crooked, folks. It's rigged. We have a rigged voting system. And they have brought in about 1 million foreigners over the last year, and they all vote. I was watching on TV, and they have a Hispanic group. And, oh, they're very busy going out registering people to vote. They say, we're going to get buses, and we're going to take them into the poor communities. We're going to bring people to the polls. They ain't got any better thing to do anyway. Many of them not working. They're on welfare. They'll even pay them. Hey, you want to make $50 today? You want to make $25? Then jump on the bus. We're going to take you to vote. Well, I can't vote because I don't have an ID card. You don't need an ID card. You don't need anything because the federal judges rule you don't need any ID card in Texas. Did you know they passed a law here in Texas that said you got to have an ID card to vote? But you can have a substitute. You can have like a student activity card at a university. Or you can have a copy of your electric bill or your water bill or anything. It doesn't even have to have a photo on. Just state your name and you can vote. And the law lists like 10 or 12 different IDs. Just, you know, basically you say, I'm alive. And you don't have to have a photo ID. They'll let you vote anyway. And they never check on you here in Texas. Because courts have ruled it's too straight-laced. You can't have a requirement for a person. Now, to drive a car, you got to have an ID card. To cash a check, you got to have an ID card. I mean, to do almost anything, you need an ID card, but not to vote. Because the Democrats don't want that. They want Mr. Satan to vote. They want thousands, millions of Satans to vote. It is unbelievable. That's the system that we now have. And there's going to be millions of people who are voting. And guess what? They'll all vote for Hillary. They'll vote for Hillary Clinton because they're told that she wants to give them something. Wants to give them welfare. Boy. Well, there's a group called the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Now, thank God, a Military Religious Freedom Foundation. But wait just a minute. It seems that this group is demanding that chaplains in the military, including the Air Force Chief of Chaplains, who's a two-star general, be investigated, and punished for praying in uniform. Now, the American government hires these chaplains, puts them in uniform, and sends them to some military installation or base. But if they pray in uniform, guess what? The Military Religious Freedom Foundation is going to sue them. That's sort of ludicrous, isn't it? Now, who runs this Military Religious Freedom Foundation? Turns out it's a bunch of atheists. It's a bunch of Jews. This Military Religious Freedom Foundation calls Christians in the military, quote, monsters who terrorize. Says they're jihadists. And demands that Christian generals be court-martialed for their faith. And you know what? They're going to be court-martialed. Give it a few more years. If Hillary wins, they'll give the order for the chaplains never to pray, never to speak of Jesus. And you can't wear your little cross either. They'll call him a chaplain, all right, but they can't really serve God. This Military Religious Freedom Foundation has asked the Department of Defense to take out religion, a religion that trusts in Jesus. Boy, that's just incredible, isn't it? Hey, guess what? They're taking away the internet. They're turning our internet over to the United Nations. It's going to happen October 1. And now it's just a couple days before. And Paul Ryan, our Speaker of the House, said it's a good thing. Give it to the United Nations. And Mr. O'Connell, or Senator McConnell, says it's a wonderful thing. You see, the establishment, they're angry. They have these town meetings, and guess what? People go to these town meetings and get mad at them. They get mad. And they holler and they scream, and boy, McConnell and Ryan and all the congressmen don't like it. They don't like seeing their name in lights on the internet. They don't like it. These internet sites call them jerks, call them losers. So how do they do it? Well, they're just going to get rid of the internet sites. Just get rid of those internet sites. Now, you can't do it if they're run by America, but if they're run by somebody else, nobody can say anything. Now, friends, if you're reading something on my website, powerofprophecy.com, maybe 6 months or a year from now, and suddenly it just goes blink right off the internet, and you never see it again, you'll know what happened. They're going to get rid of us. And Congress, Republicans and Democrats, are going to see to it that they do. Man, they're getting rid of the internet. But you know what? You can't get rid of Jesus Christ. You can't get rid of him. He's going to be with them. He's going to haunt their nights and days with the truth. With the truth. And I'm going to be right here preaching it, if God wills. And I need your support. And I think you want to help this ministry. I think you want to pray for us. And as you can, give us love gifts. I think you're going to do that too. Why? Because you love the truth. And I appreciate you. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to a volume of Secrets Today, and my prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.